Well, can I invite you to turn to your Bibles? It's communion service, so the message comes that little bit earlier. Matthew chapter 5. Do you want to know what a Christian is? Read the Sermon on the Mount. Do you want to know what a Christian is? Read Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through to 12. Here's the Christian. What a contrast to some of the ideas that we sometimes can have as to what a Christian is. Somebody says, well, the Christian is someone who recites a creed. Or the Christian is someone who goes to church. The Christian is someone who goes through a ceremony. The Christian is someone who lives in a particular way, dresses in a certain way, doesn't go to certain places, goes to certain other places, etc., etc., etc. Well, actually, that's not correct. A person may be all of those things and may do all of those things in different ways and yet not necessarily be a Christian. Somebody can recite a creed, go to church very frequently, and tick all the boxes, and yet not in heart be a genuine Christian. You see, a Christian is someone who is marked out by Christ-likeness. The clue is in the word. A Christian is a Christ person, a person marked out by Christ-likeness, a member of God's kingdom marked out by likeness to the King, a member of Christ's counterculture marked out by their being different from all the cultures of this world. And you say to me, well, is that really possible? Is that attainable? And I say to you, well, not in our own strength, it's not. See, sometimes people make the mistake of trying to live the Christian life in their own strength. And that's always a big mistake. It's like trying to pull yourself up by your own shoelaces. It's just not possible. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And maybe as you sit and you listen to what we talk about on a Sunday, sometimes you say, what's he talking about? I can't just say it. And can I, with great sincerity, say to you as your minister, that in itself is a clue that you need to open up your heart to allow God to open eyes and ears and hearts so that you might see. And that's what it means to be born of God, born again of the Spirit. There are eight beatitudes or statements in this first part of the Sermon on the Mount. And all of these give us a picture of what a Christian is. And I'm going to depend on my friends up above. This blessed little thing here that I have is not working. I just bring the four of them up. We saw last week, and I'm just mentioning this in passing, here are the marks of a Christian. A Christian is someone who is marked by a spiritual poverty. In other words, he or she realizes that in and of ourselves, we are spiritually poor. We desperately need God to enrich us. The Christian is someone who's marked by a spiritual sorrow, that we realize that our waywardness and our sinfulness is not something light and trivial as the world would have us believe, but it's actually a very serious thing, and so we need to come in genuine repentance before God. And in humility, Jesus says, blessed are the meek. That humility of spirit and that spiritual desire. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. But today we come to the very next beatitude, and I'm just because of circumstances today, I'm not going to try and do a whole lot. I'm just going to focus on this one little beatitude, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will see God. You see, a Christian is someone who is marked by mercy. Now, if I was to paint you a picture, and just a very earthy picture, let's imagine, how could we ever imagine this, but let's imagine in a home that some children were badly behaved. How could we ever imagine such a thing? And let's imagine that rather than maybe some discipline be administered, mercy is shown. So what is mercy? Mercy is actually not getting what they really deserve to get. So let's imagine that the little kiddywinkles are shown mercy. But let's imagine something more. Let's imagine that not only do they not get what they really should have got, but actually, for some peculiar reason, the parents say that evening, we're going out for ice cream. And I know you're thinking, have you gone half mad? But you know, that's grace. You see, mercy is actually not getting what you really should get. And grace is getting what you don't deserve. Can you see the difference? And a Christian is marked by mercy. You see, the God we worship is a God who shows mercy to the sinner. So we deserve to get something, and God has mercy on us. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He sees us in our misery, and he comes and he shows mercy. And in turn, God expects those who have received mercy to show mercy. That makes sense, doesn't it? And so we think of the Old Testament verse, Micah 6 and verse 8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I wonder, do you remember the story? I'm not going to expound it this morning, but just refer to it by way of illustration. Remember the lovely story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 18, the parable of the unmerciful servant. You remember the man who had a lot of debts to pay, and he comes, and the person that he owes the debts to, the person just lets him off. And then the person who has been let off all of these debts, he has some small amount owed to him by some other critter down the street. And he goes to him and says, you better give me the money that you owe me. And then gets really cross with them because they're not able to do it. And the story basically says to that unmerciful person who had been shown mercy, let me quote to you what it says. Matthew 18, I quote, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you. You know, I don't know, folks, there may be situations in life where you're maybe tempted to take a real hard attitude against somebody or something. You know, he had it coming to him. I've no sympathy on him whatsoever. And that kind of hard, merciless attitude is challenged here by the words of the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So we have to be very careful if we go out and don't show any mercy. The Lord says, well, you might not be shown any mercy at the end of the day if you're not merciful. So we need to be careful not to reflect a cruel or a harsh or a kind of vindictive attitude to those around us. So how are we getting on with showing mercy? I just want to very, very briefly show you four little pictures, if you like, of what happens when a Christian shows mercy, and they'll come up as I mentioned. And the first one is that when you show mercy, and two is quite sufficient at the moment, thank you. The first thing is that you imitate God. So when you show mercy, you imitate God. So, brother and sister in Christ, here's this challenge to you and to me to be merciful. And you say, well, why should I be merciful? And here's the first thing, because you're going to imitate God. Let me illustrate that. I don't have these on the screen or anything, but Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says this. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. So the picture is painted of a God who is very merciful, very, very merciful. And isn't that a wonderful thing? Or 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. So here's the picture. Back to the little kiddywinkles who have behaved very, very badly. And really what they deserve is pretty... I was going to say severe discipline, but within reason, of course. But you see, they don't get that. They're shown mercy. And God has shown mercy to us. What a wonderful and amazing thing. And Christian, every time that you show mercy in the circumstances of life, you actually imitate your Heavenly Father. But the second thing I want you to notice is that when you show mercy, you reflect the gospel. You see, the good news of the gospel is that God shows mercy and compassion. Listen to this, folks. God is not cruel. God is not hard and vindictive or mean. God is a very merciful God. We're told that right through the Bible. Let me give you an example. Think of a famous example, Psalm 51, where you remember David and he had seriously sinned and grieved God. And the very beginning of that Psalm 51 says, have mercy on me, O God. That's significant, that. Have mercy on me, O God. I don't deserve it, but please have mercy on me. You see, the wonder of the gospel is that repentant sinners find mercy. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter what terrible thing may have happened, if they're truly repentant, they find mercy at the foot of the cross. That is the gospel that we preach. And sometimes people maybe struggle a bit with that and they say, well, why should he find mercy? Well, why should you find mercy? Why should I find mercy? What makes me any better than him? See, that is the gospel that we preach. And when we show mercy, we reflect the gospel. And when we don't show mercy, we hide the gospel. In fact, we undermine the very ground on which we stand. It was Thomas Adams, a preacher of a bygone age, who said this, he who demands mercy and shows none ruins the very bridge over which he himself is to pass. Isn't that an interesting statement? So we demand mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. But we don't show mercy. So you actually undermine, if you like, the very road or the very bridge that you're actually hoping to go across. Because when we all stand before God at the end of the day, one of the things that we're doing is we're saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. And of course, in Christ, we know that he has mercy upon us. So do you want to commend the gospel? Show a little bit of mercy. Show a big bit of mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You see that? Another reason why we should show mercy is that you will actually benefit yourself. I remember reading of a Christian leader from many, many years ago, and he said something like this. He said, in helping others, we benefit ourselves. We heal our own wounds in binding up those of others. So in other words, to put it in a very practical, earthy way, that whenever we actually show mercy to someone else, that actually it can come back on us and be a blessing to us. Let me approach it from this angle. How many people are there around the country being eaten up with a kind of a, what I would call, to use a biblical term, a kind of a root of bitterness because of what somebody did? And at one level, it may not even have been a very major thing, but because of something that happened 10, 20, 40 years ago, and there's this kind of thing still in the heart, you know, and if only that person could let go and show a wee bit of mercy, actually, what they would discover is that it would really help them in their own soul. How many of us have maybe met people at times and they are literally eaten up with these things? And some of these things can be very, very serious. I'm not in any way underestimating some of the awful things of life at all. But all I'm saying is that the Lord Jesus says that if you're a follower of mine and you learn to show a little bit of mercy, that you will be blessed. You will find yourself being helped. You see, gospel mercy brings healing. It really does. And the opposite to that, a kind of a hard-hearted, merciless attitude, actually brings more problems to us. So the mercy will benefit yourself. And the last thing that I would say is that, you don't have to literally do this, and I'm not being flippant about it. Up hands, who wants to annoy the devil? And I'm not being flippant because the devil is real, and we don't make light of these things. But actually, I suppose I'm picking up on something that a famous preacher, a man hundreds of years ago, he was a great preacher, a man called Chrysostom, and he said this once, and I do quote him. He said, "Mercy imitates God and it disappoints Satan." Because Satan wants us to be merciless. And you know, down through history, if you're interested in history, there have been some people, and literally they have carried that name, you know, was it Ivan the Merciless or whoever it was? Some of these people, they have been utterly merciless. And you know, that's the work of the devil. Because it's always the devil that wants us to be merciless. So what happens if you want to annoy the devil? Hopefully every hand would be up. If you want to play into the hands of the devil, be cold-hearted and merciless. But if you want to annoy him, allow the Spirit of God to make you into a merciful person. A humble person, a gentle person. So Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." So, folks, this morning, there's another little picture to add to the picture of the Christian. A Christian is someone who is genuinely sorry for their sin and truly repentant. A Christian is someone who is seeking to be humble before God. A Christian is someone who's hungering after more of God. And can I say to you young lads and young girls as well, I was just recently reading the life of Duncan Campbell, who was used greatly, actually, of God and the Lewis Revival. If you've never read about that, it's a really, really interesting story. And in this book, it says that Duncan Campbell often, very, very often, used to say to young people, get to know God. Get to know God. And I want to say that as well to you young men. And I want to say to all of you young people, get to know God. And you say, oh, well, that's really, really difficult. Nobody else in my class is interested in getting to know God. Well, that's beside the point. Get to know God. If you have a heart for God, get to know him in a deeper way, and God will use you. God will use you. And God will begin to form you into the young man or the young girl and the young woman that God would have you to be. Just because the rest of the world is running to hell doesn't mean that you should follow them. The blind leading the blind. Be different, young folk. Dare to be different. Stand up for Jesus and live for him. Get to know God. A brief prayer. Father, help us to get to know you. And we thank you, Lord, that it all begins at the cross, beneath the cross of Jesus. Lord, help us to get to know you. Help us to have a desire to know you in a deeper way. Bless us, Lord, now as we sing and then as we gather around your table. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.